It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait!
I fucking question the game!
Over.
You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable!
The Giants have the pitch! All the band is out on the field! He's gonna go into the end zone! He's gonna go out of bounds!
Montana looking, throwing in the end zone!
You're tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg.
Game On!
Talking all things sports, it's
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy Friday to everybody. Happy Memorial Day weekend, of course. You are tuned into Game On right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Silverberg, joining you every single week from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on WWSRN. You can check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com, the free WWSRN app, any phone, Android or iPhone, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Periscope, Twitch, and so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. And you can also call in the number 631-672-3108. We have a lot to get to, ladies and gentlemen. It is a jam-packed show in regards to a massive wrestling weekend. Tomorrow, you have WWE Night of Champions. For Sunday, you have AEW Double or Nothing. Celtics, can they come back? Only three teams have ever been down 3-0 and have tied the series, but none have ever done it. Can the Celtics be the one to do it? Another Boston story for sure. The Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in 27 years. The last time they did that, it's great and wonderful, as they say. John Van Beesbrouck was the goalie for the Florida Panthers. Before we continue, let's not forget about what Memorial Day means, and that is, of course, you know, remembering those that fought for this country here, this great country in the United States, which we're still trying to find common ground, it feels like, at times, with the way everybody is today. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you can always try to figure out how important Memorial Day is. My grandfather, he fought as well, so we always remember those. What Memorial Day means. I understand it's the kickstart to summer. The weather is changing. It's fantastic. So, like I said, enjoy this. If you have a three-day weekend, I know I do. I'm very excited about it. Long overdue for sure. But let's get into our leadoff spot. And, of course, I know it's been a couple of days, but I want to touch base on it. And that was the great and powerful, the queen of rock and roll, as they say, Miss Tina Turner, passing away at the age of 83. And really, when you look at what Tina Turner did for just between her soulful voice, the way she had her music, but how she was on stage as well. She was very impactful. Her biggest hits, of course, Simply the Best. We know that. 1989. In the 80s, she was massive. 1989. 1984, What's Love Got to Do with It, of course. And I think her best song is We Don't Need Another Hero, released in 1985. You know, and she was very sick for a while. I know she had cancer for a little while as well and everything like that. And really, like I said, she did make an impact. Still performing even as much as last year. Yes, Proud Mary is another one. Of course, there's my father chiming in. Stug, I will get my father on the show at some point, okay? During the summer, we will work on it, okay? If that makes you happy, we'll get him on the show at some point. I'll connect him. We'll put him on. We'll get him through, all right? So that way we could stop this. And by the way, Snug, I remember what you said a few weeks ago about me prancing around saying that I'm going to rave about, you know, oh, I got the Rangers take right. I'm not going to rave about it because I'm a Rangers fan. That's the facts. But I'm going to say I told you so. Never did that. But yes, Tina Turner, like I said, passing away at the age of 83, like I said. That's definitely not happening, Snug. Item number two. The Boston Celtics, down 3-0. What we've seen from the Boston Celtics is this. You know, you look back and you say to yourself, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, why were the Celtics not prepared for the beginning of the series when they're playing the way they've been playing the last few games and they're already down 3-0? Do we think it's too late? you're starting to see, obviously, Malcolm Brogdon, who's banged up, but he's performing well. Williams was the GOAT, was literally the GOAT, not for good reasons, when he got into Jimmy Butler's face after game one. So you're starting to see everything come together, right? Jason Tatum is playing well. Jaylen Brown is playing well. And wouldn't it be apropos that another Boston franchise, down 3-0, wins a series? So with Mazzulla, you're going to say to yourself, now look, if the Celtics got swept in this series, you can make the case, does Mazzulla get to keep his job? Because let's be realistic here. They almost were sleepwalking in the series through the Sixers. But the other thing about the 76ers you have to remember is James Harden. I always compare this to James Harden. James Harden is like the kids playing baseball from South Park. They don't want to play over the summer, so they try to lose on purpose. That's what I feel James Harden is. The Celtics are a better team than the Sixers. Then you look at it in the way, when you look at it on paper, the Celtics are a better team than the Miami Heat are. The thing is, the Heat are getting, you know, they're getting stats all over the place. They're getting, you know, contributions from everybody, from Strauss to Martin Jr., Vincent, who was hurt, Gabe Vincent, who was out the last game. The biggest thing about Miami, though, and you could say this, Jimmy Butler is just a different animal when it comes to the postseason. And I never understood the talk of Jimmy Butler, you know, getting the rap that he got. But again, we'll get into this a little bit more at the 620 mark. The wrestling weekend, the big wrestling weekend. You have tomorrow, Night of Champions for WWE. They're in Saudi Arabia. That is happening, I believe, at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And then on Sunday, you have AEW Double or Nothing, which I went to last year in Vegas. They do it every Memorial Day weekend, which I think is fantastic. By AEW, it was an awesome show last year. I think it'll be an even better show this year. And then, of course, the news came out about CM Punk. He is coming back to AEW for round two. They're doing this again with him. They're going to have the new Collision show, which will air Saturday nights on TNT. Of course, if you didn't see the logo, it's supposed to be a carbon copy of the WCW Nitro logo. I'm really trying to figure out why Eric Bischoff said what he said. And to me, it's weird, because the whole point of AEW making that logo was supposed to be a replica and kind of a just a visual of what WCW Nitro, their logo, looked like, with the orange and the yellow and the red and all of that. So to me, I'm trying to still figure out where he gets into play with why he says what he says. It doesn't make any sense. It's supposed to be a tribute to Nitro. It's not supposed to be anything different. So why Eric Bischoff says, oh, why are they copying? Dude, they're making it as a tribute to what you created, and yet you're insulted by it. My guess is probably because he had a very bad exit with AEW, Eric Bischoff. We'll see if the show works out. They have so many shows, but we'll get to the wrestling after the 6:40 mark. And then my last topic, the leadoff spot, is about Major League Baseball. And basically, we're at the 30-game mark, and you're starting to see teams kind of flex their muscles a little bit, right? You have about 5 or 6 teams, I think, that are guarantees right now to make the playoffs. In my eyes, the Dodgers, okay, the Rays, the Astros, the Braves, those are 4, and I'm still going to put the Yankees there, because they don't have Stanton and they don't have Rodon yet, but I'm still going to put the Yankees there. Those are my 5 guarantee. Other teams that are going to pop in, you're going to see the Baltimore Orioles that are going to pop in. They just won 2 out of 3. Easily could have swept the series against the Yankees this past week. You're going to see the Texas Rangers, who are doing this without Jacob deGrom. You're going to see the Philadelphia Phillies. You're waiting for them to get going. As the Mets, you're waiting for those two teams to get going. They're so hit or miss this year, those two. The Padres have been a disaster this year. Both Central divisions have been horribly, horribly played this year. The Cardinals are a disaster. They got to get rid of that manager at some point. He's terrible. The Twins are the Twins at this point. Now, Sonny Gray's up for the Cy Young. Right now, Garrett Cole's a Cy Young favorite. To me, when I look at where Major League Baseball is right now, I feel like there's still a talent deficiency. 12 teams made the playoffs, 6 in each league. And the fact that I'm only naming five guaranteed teams right now, and the Yankees, I'm making them a guarantee, and I'm still not even so fully on with them until they get everybody back and I see it. But the talent this year in Major League Baseball has just not been great. And I know Stump just said the Pirates. Listen, the Pirates were once like 10 games above 500, then now I believe a game over 500 or something like that. So you knew they were going to come back to earth. That's just the reality of how Major League Baseball is done. And don't worry, Snug, the Red Sox will be sellers at the trade deadline. They'll get to last place soon enough. All right, when we come back, I want to get a little more into this Boston Celtics series, get into the Denver Nuggets stuff. Was LeBron taking away the flash from the Nuggets? And I'll tell you why what he did was the most unprofessional thing to do. I'll get to that when we come back right here on Game On Here. The Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game on!
Game on!
We're back.
The shoot is good!
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. This is Game On. I'm your host, Joshua Silver, joining you every single Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. live here on WWSRN. All right, so I wanted to get into this topic that everybody is starting to talk about. And that is, obviously, the Denver Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to Nikola Jokic, to Jamal Murray, who has been playing on an absolute tear this entire postseason. And Jokic needs Jamal Murray to get to that next level. But, of course, you have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You have Michael Porter. It's kind of crazy because when you look at the Nuggets, they pretty much play, Mike Malone has them playing with a six-man rotation, which is kind of crazy that they were able to still have the energy and produce how they did. Now, that's not the part that bothers me. The part that bothers me is the fact that the Denver Nuggets got to the NBA Finals. And all the talk after the finals, West Coast Finals were over, was about LeBron James. Really, when I think about this, do we honestly really think that LeBron James is going to retire? That's number one. And number two, was it the right thing for him to say after his team just lost? Because the reality is this. The league is all about LeBron James. They have to know everything, get information, see what he's doing. The Nuggets are celebrating their championship on the road, which, by the way, another thing, kudos to the Nuggets for also back-to-back rounds eliminating Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on the road, and then eliminating Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the road. Nevertheless, I'm trying to figure out, did LeBron know what he was doing when he said retirement is on the table? I have to think about it. Do we honestly think his team was one of the final four teams in the league this year to win a championship? Final four, it's very hard to do. Do we honestly think he's going to sit out and not get $90 million that's still owed to him? It's ridiculous. And I don't care how much money he has, how much he's made already, endorsements, movies, playing time, of course, jersey sales, everything. $90 million is a lot of money. He is not turning that away. That's number one. Number two, 100% he wants to play with his son, Bronny. Now, I don't know how good Bronny's going to be at USC. Not sure. But I can tell you this. LeBron James, if he retires, would be one of the most shocking stories we've had in forever. If he leaves that kind of money on the table. You can't sit there and say, if you're LeBron, okay, we were one of the final four teams. We almost got there, but I'm going to leave now. It almost feels like kind of like it's like a threat to the Lakers of, hey, okay, I'm threatening to leave unless you make this team better. So he's basically directing it at Rob Pelinka to make this team a better roster. And then that's where, of course, you saw Kyrie Irving in the stands during the Western Conference Finals. He was watching LeBron and everything like that. And then, of course, everything starts to come out. Okay, Kyrie's going to come to the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. By the way, if that happens, good luck with that. We saw how Kyrie is in Boston. We saw how Kyrie is in Brooklyn. And we saw how Kyrie is in Dallas. Sabotage those teams. That's the facts. And I don't want to hear these betting odds of if LeBron leaves, he's going to the Knicks. It's not happening. Nor do I want him at this point. The truth of the matter is this. LeBron James is not going to leave $90 million on the table. He still has a pretty good roster with Reeves and Hachimura and Schroeder. Like I said, if they want to get Kyrie Irving, if that is really what LeBron says to the Lakers, either you get Kyrie or I'm retiring, then the Lakers are handcuffed. Because once the Lakers lose LeBron James, they're in the cellar. Because then what's going to happen is then Anthony Davis is going to ask for a trade. And then the dominoes are going to fall. And then this is going to happen. And then this team, you know, I mean, it's going to become a mess. So LeBron James doing what he did, I thought was so, it was petty and it was immature of him to do that. Emotions are high. You just lost the Western Conference Finals. I understand. But then I got to have ESPN, while the Denver Nuggets are celebrating the championship, their first ever franchise history, on the floor, I got to watch LeBron walk to the locker room taking his armbands off. Why do we care? And if you're a Denver Nugget fan, you're pissed. Because you're saying to yourself, this is disrespectful. I mean, let's go like it is. LeBron could do whatever he wants. LeBron could tell the Lakers, I'm taking this game off and that game off and this game off and that game off. Low management. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's the king of it. He runs the Clippers, Kawhi. So it's almost a matter of LeBron, yes, has different interests now, and I understand that. But here's the thing of it is this. If you could just play basketball for $90 million and you could play, pick and choose when you want to play because of low management, and let's call it like it is, he runs the show in L.A., you're going to play. Your team is one of the final four teams. Now, if your team didn't make the playoffs or a team lost in the first round, I would say, okay, I understand where he's kind of coming from. And again, when Stunk says nobody cares if the Nuggets, that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is it's still a very disrespectful moment to ruin if you're LeBron James. To do that to, especially to one of the best players in the world like Nikolai Jokic. And I think the Nuggets, whoever they play, is winning. I don't think the Celtics are beating them. I don't think the Heat are beating them. It don't matter. You're not stopping Jokic. There's nobody that can stop Jokic in this league. Nobody. So I thought LeBron doing that was very petty and very disrespectful. I touched a little bit on the Boston Celtics-Miami Heat series look. I do think the Miami Heat are going to win tomorrow night. I think Jimmy has it in his blood. Okay, we slipped up in game four. Game five, we lost on the road. But now, if you're Jimmy Butler, you know, now you're home. Game six, it's time to end this for sure. Everybody used to make these assumptions about Jimmy Butler, right? Everybody would say, okay, Jimmy Butler is a bad guy in the locker room. He's tough to coach. He doesn't put his 100% heart into it. I haven't seen that at all. Okay, he went to Minnesota. Let me tell you something. Just remember this. The Philadelphia 76ers chose Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler on that team. They had a choice. They chose Simmons. Horrible job. Butler is one of the toughest guys I've seen, and he does deserve a championship at some point. Call it like it is. He does. He's shown it. Now, it doesn't always show in the regular season, but when the playoffs come around, listen to this. This is the third time in 4 years they're in the conference finals, all of them with Jimmy Butler. Eric Spoelstra, to me, is the best coach in basketball. The interesting thing is it's not just Butler that's doing this. Again, I said it. It's Strauss, Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson. Doing this without Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo. Bam Adebayo, you know, I mean, he doesn't have he does good things. And I like Bam. But it's really like Martin, Strauss, the role players, the undrafted role players is really something when you look at it and you say to yourself, how did the Miami Heat go from a play-in team to get to the conference finals? The last 4 years, they're now here. They eliminated the Milwaukee Bucks in five games. crush Giannis. Now, Giannis might end up in healthy. I think Chris Middleton is done at this point with the injury. They beat him in five. They had a very tough series with the Knicks. Beat him in six. And this looked like a sweep at one point. And I thought if they got swept the Celtics, Mazzulla was not coming back. Because you got to remember, Ime Udoka was ready to be the coach. They had to bum rush the hire because the season was starting soon. And these allegations for Udoka were coming out. They didn't really have time to go through the hiring process. And Brad Stevens, unbelievable executive, but Danny Ainge players, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, the three main cogs are Danny Ainge players. But Stevens helped develop these guys. Jason Tatum is one of the top players in the NBA. Jaylen Brown is getting into that top 10 list for players. I say to myself, Brad Stevens has done a great job as an executive. But it just all seems like they get lucky with the coach. Like, Udoka was... If Udoka didn't have these issues, which, by the way, he's now in Houston, and that team's on the rise, so we'll see how that goes. And it's reported that James Harden's going to go back to Houston. Probably to go party. A lot of things happen in Texas. Wembanyama is going to go to San Antonio. Great spot for him, by the way, with Popovich. It's a great spot. And I like the way the Celtics are built. Young, through the draft, signed big-name guys. They tried to sign one big-name guy in Kyrie. Dumped him. Now they're better for it. I look at the Boston Celtics as a whole, and look, the Celtics are trying to make up for what the Bruins did this year. Let's go like it is. Now, look, if the Celtics win tomorrow night, I wanted to bring this up. We know there have been zero teams to come back from 3-0 series lead. I have two of them here. In 1994, the Nuggets versus the Jazz. The Jazz were up 3-0. The Nuggets won the next three. Jazz won game seven. 2003, Mavs, Portland. It was the Mavs that were up 3-0. Portland made 3-3, and then the Mavs won the series. So, in reality, could the Celtics win tomorrow and lose Game 7 at home? Of course they can. I believe the difference is that those two Game 7s, the home team won. This one, if Boston wins tomorrow, they got home Game 7. And the Denver Nuggets are just sitting around waiting, by the way, because this doesn't start till next Thursday. They're going to have over a week off, which is wild to think about, because you're going to say to yourself, if you're a Nuggets fan or any basketball fan, is, are they going to get into a flow? How are they going to get into a flow? What can they do? That's where Mike Malone has to do his job and figure out, how can I keep this team competitive for the next week or so? Now, Denver is getting home court in the finals, which is huge for them. So either way, they got to travel. If you're Denver, I think, in my opinion, it's almost like, who would you rather play? Would you rather play Boston or Miami? I think you'd rather play Miami. I do. I think you'd rather play Miami because the Celtics have more depth than the Heat do. The thing that the Heat have, though, forget this, is the coaching. That's where it's like a toss-up of who you'd rather play. Now, it doesn't. I said I picked the Nuggets to win. It doesn't matter. I think the Nuggets are going to destroy whoever they play because nobody's stopping Jokic and nobody's going to stop Murray. Not to mention you have KCP, you have Michael Porter. Go on and you go on. Jeff Green is barely there. He plays a few minutes. But right now, there's no favorite in the East that's going to beat the Denver Nuggets. Now, look, if Jimmy Butler leads the Heat back, if Jimmy Butler leads the Heat back to the finals, that's another coup in his cap. Because that's now two finals in the last 3 years, three Chicago finals in the last four. That's a massive deal. Yes, the bubble one does count. But I think what this does is this also is now people are starting to open up and realize how great of a coach Eric Spoelstra is. Because of what he's getting out of this talent. He's squeezing the talent that he has out of these players. And that's why I still think Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the league. Because of what he's gotten out of these players. Now, I do think if the Celtics win tomorrow, I think they're winning on Sunday. But again, I don't think it's going to matter. I think whoever wins this series, they're losing to the Nuggets. It doesn't matter. It's not going to make a difference. Who cares? Doesn't matter. But we'll see. I think the Celtics would be a better matchup. The Heat are the easier. I'm saying best coach in the league right now. I think Pop, the game has kind of passed him by. And I love Pop. When we come back, we're going to get to a little hockey conversation. The Florida Panthers are awaiting their opponent. for the Stanley Cup Finals that are starting in a couple of days. And then we're getting into a little wrestling conversation. Which show am I more excited about? Is it Night of Champions or is it Double or Nothing? We'll be right back here in Game On, live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game on!
Game on!
We're back!
The juice is gone!
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're back for the last half of Game On Live right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. DeAndre Hopkins cut today by the Arizona Cardinals, and of course there's going to be a plethora of teams that are going to be interested in him. Of course, it has come out of the quarterbacks you like to play with, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, so on and so forth, Justin Herbert. We will see where DeAndre Hopkins goes. I'm not sure if he has an agent, per se. So I'm very curious where Hopkins ends up. If I had to guess, I'm probably going to say he goes to Buffalo. Though the only thing is Buffalo has to do a lot of cap gymnastics. And then everything like that. And, of course, he said it was interesting. He said he would want to go to New England and play with Mac Jones. I thought that was a little odd. Interesting for Hopkins to say something like that. But the thing is, he's older. He's in his 30s. He's had a lot of injuries the last couple of years. I'm very curious what he still has left in the tank. I'm also curious to see if Tampa would maybe be interested in trading a Mike Evans at this point. Look, Tampa's not going anywhere. I know the video has surfaced out about Baker Mayfield overthrowing his receiver in practice. We know Tampa's going to be in the cellar this year. It's just a matter of, I wonder if they would entertain the offer for of that happening. So DeAndre Hopkins, I do think he's going to end up at Buffalo Bill. We shall see where that goes. Now, the Florida Panthers, congratulations to them. 27 years, they're going to the Stanley Cup Final. Demolishing. I shouldn't even say demolish because every game was close. Beating the Carolina Hurricanes 4-0. And it's so funny. I was cringing at what Rob Brindamore said after the game when he said, we didn't get swept because every game was close. We didn't get swept. If the series ended 4-0, dude, you got swept. You lost 4-0. You didn't win a game. That's a sweep. And yet there, Rob Brindamore says, nah, we didn't get swept. Every game was close. Give me a break. They lost. They lost 4-0. They got beat. Now, Matthew Tkachuk is playing out of his mind right now. We know how good Matthew Tkachuk is. Sergei Bobrovsky is showing why the Panthers gave him that contract 2 years ago. It's finally coming together with him. And what's crazy is, you know, Paul Maurice has done a nice job. He had a lot of success in Winnipeg. Never got to a cup final with them, of course, but he had success in Winnipeg, bringing that franchise back to relevancy when they moved to Winnipeg a couple years ago. I think the Florida Panthers are a very tough team to be right now, but again, it's a layoff. And especially in hockey, I never know how the layoff's going to affect the team. And then in regards to the Western Conference Finals, you have the Vegas Golden Knights right now up against the Dallas Stars. The Stars finally won a game. Joe Pavelski winning it for them, making it a 3-1 series. I just want to know what in the world Jamie Benn was thinking. And it's crazy. I never knew how dirty of a player Jamie Benn is. Jamie Benn is the hits that he does is crazy. Because the cross check that he did on Mark Stone the other day, and then while Stone was down the ground, he decides to take his stick and cross check him, his head into the ice. And I'm like, dude, you're the captain of the team. What are you doing? And he's suspended. They won game 4 without him. Now you have game 5 coming up. So I think Vegas is going to win that series. I think you're going to get Panthers, Golden Knights. I don't know how the ratings are going to be for that series. Again, you have a lot of talent, both sides, right? You have Tkachuk, Barkov, and everything. And it's so funny because when Speedy and I, a couple of months ago, did a who do we think will make the playoffs, and I always remind Speedy of this, is, you know, Speedy picked the Penguins and the Red Wings to make the playoffs. I said the Islanders and the Panthers. And the Panthers are going to the finals. So it's interesting because in the end, the crazy thing is that the Hurricanes have been at 2 conference finals in the last 5 years. And they have not won a single game in any of those finals. So you're starting to wonder, you know, because the thing of it is this. They're going to have the cap space to do this with Pacioretty off the books, Jesper Foss off the books, other guys. Do the Hurricanes make a run at Timo Meier? And it wouldn't surprise me if they did. I think Timo Meier would fit very well in Carolina. They need something because they didn't do anything at the trade deadline. They thought Pajarvi was going to help. The fact of the matter is, and also it's not a wash because at the time when I said this, the Islanders were not in the playoff picture, and I still said the Islanders snug, so no. The question was who will make the playoffs. It was the Islanders and the Panthers, not the Penguins and the Red Wings. So, to me, I think that was something that was when I watched what Jamie Benn did, though, I just shook my hand. I said, what captain does that to represent their team? And how do you do that? But again, I think the Florida Panthers are going to be the team that wins the Stanley Cup. Good for them. That is now 4 years in a row where the state of Florida has had a team represent in the Stanley Cup final. Tampa 3 years in a row, now the Panthers. So kudos to the state of Florida for being the new hockey town, I guess. Wrestling this weekend, people have been asking me what show you're most looking forward to, Night of Champions or Double or Nothing. To me, it's I'm going to go with AEW Double or Nothing because of the anarchy in the arena match, the way that match has been built between the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club. I'm excited about that. When I look at Night of Champions for the WWE, it's going to be a very good show. I think both shows are actually going to be very good. It's just the Saudi Arabia factor. It's also, I'm very curious what happens with the Bloodline. Do the Usos turn on Roman Reigns? I'm very, very curious with how that whole thing goes about because that's been the top storyline in wrestling right now is the Bloodline story. Is it going to disintegrate to the point of where there is no more Bloodline? Is Solo Sikoa going to turn on Roman Reigns and try to win that Universal, whatever it's called, WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship? I don't even know what it's so many names, everything like that. But we know with Saudi Arabia, they have the money, so WWE tries to put out a product where they can get as many big-name wrestlers there as possible. But I still think Double Nothing is going to be the best show just because of the overall card. You have Cole and Jericho, the Pillars Fatal 4-Way match. I think both shows are going to be very good. I'm going to tune into both shows. All right. Speedy, it is time. Let's get to that buzzer beater. Play the sound for me, sir. Beautiful. So, my buzzer beater this week is I have a bone to pick with a manager in New York, and that's Buck Showalter. His lineup tonight is a disgrace. You're going to play Tommy Pham and Daniel Vogelback again. And you're going to let Francisco Alvarez hit ninth again. Viento should be playing. Alvarez should be higher in the lineup. I don't understand Showalter's thinking here, but this is the problem with Showalter in his past places. He stunts the growth of kids. If it were up to him, if he was the manager next season for the Yankees in 96, he still would have had John Wetland as the closer and had Rivera stuck in the bullpen somewhere. This is the problem with Showalter. He doesn't know how to develop kids because he doesn't play them. Like Machado in Baltimore, he didn't have a choice. Machado was one of the best third basemen in baseball at the time. He didn't have a choice to that. I find the whole thing to be head-scratching because here's the thing. You know the Mets don't have pitching right now, right? We know the pitching and the bullpen, too. It's been just mediocre to bad this year. And this is where the New York Mets have a massive problem. And when you're relying on two 39-year-olds, 38-year-olds, you know, it's a problem. See, it's Snug says how to show to keep getting jobs. Think of it this way. In the NHL, it's recycle. Coaches get recycled all the time. Managers in baseball get recycled all the time. It's just the way the sports is. It's always been that case. Hockey happens more than any sport. I mean, I'm hearing the Rangers are close to hiring a head coach, and the name I'm hearing is Peter Laviolette. So it's a matter of a we'll see. I don't like how Showalter's handled this season. It's not been good. The lineup every night, I mean, this lineup tonight is horrible. So to me, it doesn't make sense. But ladies and gentlemen, that is it for our show this evening. I want to thank the fans so much for listening and tuning in every single Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. live right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. And you can check out other shows as well, like Sports Loudmouths, Wise Guys, the Betting Show, Buffalo Bill Show, and everything of that nature. I hope everybody, like I said, enjoys their three-day weekend. Be safe. Be careful. I know barbecues are going to be happening and drinking and all this stuff. Just be safe. Be conscious of the decisions you make. I'm sure Snug's going to be smoking doobies all over the place somewhere. Yes, I'll see you at Miller's Outhouse tonight. Snug, can't wait. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, happy Memorial Day to all those that have fought for this country and everything like that. We appreciate you, of course. Check us out at worldwidesportsradio.com, the free WSRN app, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Periscope, Twitch, and so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the playoffs with the hockey and the basketball this weekend. Enjoy all the wrestling this weekend. I will talk to you next Friday. Till then, take care, everybody. Have a good night. We'll see you then.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.